Okay, I am flattered that you invited me here again, but I'm a little intimidated because it reminds me of the Chazan who gave a performance, and when he finished his last number, they asked for an encore, so he sang it again. When he finished it the second time, they asked for another encore, and he sang it a third time. After seven times singing the same song, he said, "I'm really flattered that you want to hear this song over and over again, but how many times?" And somebody from the back yelled out, "Till you do it right." So I hope this time I'm going to do it right, and you won't have to invite me back again. In any case, I want to explain to you how tefillah works. Davening, right? Are you changing God's mind? He decided one thing, but if you bother him enough, like you bother your parents sometimes, so he'll change his mind. And that doesn't really make any sense, because everything that God does is for our good. And if we don't understand it, and we don't realize it, right, and we ask for it to be changed, why would God want to change it and do something bad for us? Because we're stupid. Because we bother him too much. So there must be another understanding of how exactly tefillah works. I want to start with a Gemara, and we'll explain that Gemara throughout the time that we have. The Gemara says, "Miyom shenechra beis hamikdash, shari afal pi shari tfila ninalu, shari dima lo ninalu." Even though the gates of tfila have been locked to a certain degree, but the gates of tears have not been locked away. What does that mean? Seems from the Mefarshim that they're not two different gates. It's not that if you daven, the gates are closed, but if you cry, then the gates are open. But there's two kinds of tefillah. There's tefillah stam, and then there's tefillah with tears. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to cry. It's a different kind of tefillah. Let's discuss first the kind of tefillah that was affected by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which for all practical purposes, the gates of that kind of tefillah are locked, but we'll see they're not insurmountable. You all know, as Yeshiva Bachrim, that even if the gates are locked, you somehow can get in. Somehow you go through a window, you can pick the lock, right? Not beyond Yeshiva Bachrim to get through locked gates. So even though the gates are locked, it's still possible to get in, it's just more difficult. What are those gates of tefillah? The Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that he wants us to be very dynamic in how the world runs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to shower his goodness on us all the time. He wants to give us only good, but he wants us to deserve it. He wants us to earn it. Just like we earn our Olam Haba to get the things in this world that we deserve, the Rabbanu Shem wants us to earn it, to deserve it, and more than that, to create it. And therefore, he created, imagine, a tremendous motor. And through that motor, through that system, he constantly is influencing and showering good into the system from his side. But there has to be fuel that fuels that system to move. The system is made of all kinds of levers and all kinds of things that will push that influence that Hashem gives min hashamayim down to here, that we should benefit from it. But you need the electricity, you need the gas that will make that whole system move. What is the electricity and the gas that makes the system move? That's our mitzvahs, our Torah, and specifically tefillah. Torah is what keeps the whole world going. It is the energy source for the whole world, Torah. And that is more for the next world, the energy of Torah. And even though if it doesn't seem like that, you're sitting here learning Torah and you're keeping the whole world going. There are people out there doing what seems to be a lot more impressive. There's engineers who are designing and building buildings and bridges, right? And people who are discovering cures for illnesses. They look like they're really accomplishing something, and they are. But you look like, what are you accomplishing? You're sitting here with a sefer. But I'll tell you, the Chofetz Chaim says a very beautiful marshal. He says there was once a very rich man who wanted to have built for him the most luxurious boat, the most luxurious yacht that ever existed. So he hired an architect and a builder, and he told them the following: I want this boat to be the most luxurious boat that ever was, and therefore I'm only going to pay you if everything on that boat is luxurious. If there's anything plain, I'm going to inspect the boat before, after it's finished, before I pay you. If there's anything plain, you don't get paid. So you better make sure that everything's luxurious. So they built this beautiful boat. They took him to examine it, to check it out. And he what's it called, saw the state rooms where people sleep, and everything was really deluxe. Everything beautiful. Gold bathroom fixtures, very, very plush carpeting. Everything was really, really top-notch. Took him to the ballrooms, the dining rooms, everything really perfect. Then they took him down below, and he sees a room with a plain, ordinary doorknob, and some smoke is coming outside, out under the door. And he says, I suspect that there's something in that room that is just plain, not luxurious. I want the door opened immediately. They open the door. Sure enough, there's no carpet on the floor. It's all sooty and dirty, and there's smoke there. He says, look, I'm going to do you a favor. I'll give you 24 hours to get this room out of my boat, or I don't pay you a penny. So they took the engine room out of the boat, and it sank. Sometimes the engine room, what keeps the whole boat going, doesn't look as impressive as the rest of the boat. But that is the main thing in the boat. What you're doing, sitting here learning Torah, doesn't seem so impressive. But it's what's keeping the whole world going. It is the fuel. It's the gasoline. It's the electricity that keeps the whole world going, especially towards the next world. That is Torah and mitzvahs. But tefillah is called chayishah. That's what keeps that machinery, that big system that God made to be able to bring His influence of all the good things, parnasa and refuah and all the things that we want in this world. God wants to give it all the time. But He wants us to deserve it. He wants us to create it. So He gave us the fuel to fuel that system and to put all those levers and all the things into motion. And what is that fuel? Partially, the fuel of tefillah. In fact, Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens. Okay? He davens also. Says what's it called? The Haviyosim El Har Kodshi V'simachtim Beveis Tefilosi. The place where I daven. So the Gemara asks, the Rashba asks a very simple question. Who does God daven to? We know who we daven to. Who does God daven to? He says He davens to us. And He says, please, I want so much to do good for you. I want to do all the good things for you. And the system that I created is ready to bring it down to you. But you have to put the gas in. You have to put the electricity on. You have to turn the switches. You have to give the energy for that system to move. I don't want to do it for free. I want you to deserve it. I want you to earn it. So when we daven, it puts that system into motion, and all the good that God wants to give us comes into this world. And the Rebbe Mishlam wants very much to give us that good. But he begs us, please, do what I told you. Do mitzvahs, learn Torah, daven, so I can do what I want to do and influence you with all that good. And that's why in davening, if you ever understood what you're saying, and it bothered you, we say in davening every day the following words. Tenu oz lelokim. Give strength to God. You ever think about that? You think you're strong enough to give some strength to God? He needs your strength? We're little puny things. Why do we give strength to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Tenu oz lelokim. Lelokim is God's name, is how He deals in nature. In fact, the name Elokim in Gematria is Hateva. So Hashem, in nature, He put together this tremendous system. And He wants us to give the power so He can influence and do what He wants with that system. So we are giving strength to Hashem by davening, by doing mitzvahs, and by learning Torah. That is Tenu Oz Lelokim. And that's what a bracha is. According to the Rashba, according to this idea of tefillah, a bracha means the following. The word baruch doesn't mean blessed. It also means blessed, but that's not the main meaning. The word baruch means tosefes v'ribui, to increase. The word baruch comes from the word brecha, a stream, a well, constantly is increasing and producing more and more water, a living stream. The word baruch means, God, I want you to increase what you did. You made a relationship with this world. You created a relationship that you created bread. Let's say a motzi. Let's see what the bracha means. You're going to eat some bread. So you say, Rabbanu Shel Olam, you created a relationship with this world where you create bread. Baruch Atah Hashem, Rabbanu Shel Olam, I want that relationship that you created with the world of bringing bread into the world to be increased. And by doing that, you create more spiritual bread in the world and replace what you're taking out of the world. So by making a bracha, you are creating the spiritual energy to bring bread into the world. The Rabban Shem is motzi lechem in haaretz, but he wants you to give him the energy to do it. So when you make that bracha, you are giving that energy, which explains a gemara that you're all familiar with. Somebody who eats and doesn't make a bracha is like he's stealing. What does that do with stealing? And if I go to somebody's house and I see something I like and I make a bracha and I can take it, right? That's okay. That makes it okay. It's no stealing anymore. What it means is, when you make a bracha on bread, you are creating the power for more spiritual bread to be brought into this world. If you don't make the bracha, you're taking from the world and you're not giving anything back. When you're taking, you don't give back. That's called stealing. When you make the bracha, you're giving back. You're giving the energy for more bread to be created and furnished by the Rabbanu Shel Olam, because you're giving him the energy to do it. So if you don't give him the energy, then you're stealing, you're taking something, and you're not giving anything in its place. That is the idea of tefillah, where tefillah is a very active, right, very, very positive kind of thing. I daven, I give the Rabbanu Shel Olam kibiyochel the power to then bring into the world all the good things that he wants to, but he made a condition, he tied his hands, he's not going to do it unless we create it, unless we deserve it, unless we give the energy for it. All of that was really dependent on the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash was the energy source for everything in the world. All the power of Parnasa came from the Shulchan, the power of Torah came from the menorah and the aron, and so on and so on. All the karbanos took all the things in the world and somehow used them as a trigger to make that tremendous system that Hashem made work. But once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the energy source, the power plant, was destroyed. And now it's very difficult to create that electricity. If you don't have a power plant, you need little generators. They can work, but it's not the same thing as having a tremendous power plant. So when the power plant was destroyed, it affected this idea of tefillah. The idea of tefillah that we give the energy to make the world, to make all the instruments and all of the system that Hashem made, all the wheels turn. And like I said, the gates are closed, but they're not impossible to get through. You have to daven with a lot more kavana. It's much harder to create that energy now than it was when the Beis HaMikdash was around. It's one of the things that we mourn on Tisha B'Av, that we lost that power. But like I said, the gates can be locked, but a good yeshiva bacher knows how to get over them, under them, through the windows, or whatever. So we still can daven, and even that aspect of davening has an effect. However, there's another kind of davening, completely different. It's not where we're active and we're creating energy, but just the opposite. We're deserving what Hashem gives us for a different reason. And that, in that respect, davening is called tefillah shel dema'os, tefillah of tears. When a person cries, he feels helpless. He feels that he can't function. Right, something's bothering him and he just feels helpless. That is the tefillah of the tefillah of demos, the tefillah of tears, which means the following. When we say a bracha then, it's completely a different idea. The word baruch, aside from being from brecha, like we said, can come from another source. Berech, your knee. When we say baruch, what do? We bend our knees. Baruch atah Hashem. We bend our knees. You know what it says? We say to the Rabbanu Shalom the following. Rabbanu Shalom, I don't have a leg to stand on. I can't stand up on my own legs. I'm bending my knee, and I'm telling you, Rabbanu Shalom, I can't do it. I need refuah. I can't do it. The doctors can't do it. They're not in control. You're in control. So baruch, Rabbanu Shalom, I'm bending my knees. I don't have a leg to stand on. I can't stand on my own. Ata, I bend my body over. You, not me. I'm nothing. So now you would think, when you say Sheham Hashem, you should just fall down on the ground. If you're nothing, you can't stand on your own 2 feet. You're really nothing. Baruch atah, it's not me. Rabbanu Shalom, it's you. Now when you say Shem Hashem, we should fall on the ground. What do? When we say Shem Hashem? Stand up straight. Why? Because Rabbanu Shalom, without you, I can't stand on my own 2 feet. It's you, it's not really me. But with you, Hashem, if you're with me, then I can stand up straight and I can do it. I need you. So by davening, you're saying the following, Rabbanu Shalom, I can't do it on my own, I need you. That is what davening is. That's the davening of tears. That's the davening, not where I'm powerful, I'm making the energy, that really depended on the Beis HaMikdash. But the kind of davening where I say when I daven, Rabbanu Shalom, I need you. I can't do it on my own. I can't stand on my own 2 feet. I'm really nothing compared to you. But if you help me, you're with me, Hashem, I can stand up straight and I can do. In that respect, all the davening is not so much asking for things. Rifo'enu Hashem v'nei rafei can be a bakasha. You're asking Hashem, please heal me. But you can learn it a different way. Rabbanu Shalom making a statement. Rifa'enu Hashem. If you heal me, God, Erafe, I'll be healed. And if you don't heal me, I can go to all the doctors, spend all the money, take all the medicine, and it won't help. Ultimately, you, Rabbanu Shalom, are the one who makes the difference. So I'm making a statement. Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei rafei. And when I make that statement, and I believe that the Rabbanu Shalom is the one who does everything in the world, he's what makes it happen. And I believe that. And I know I need him, and I think I can't do it on my own. And the Rabbanu Shalom says, look, if you think you can do it on your own, do it. If you understand you can't do it on your own, and you need me, I'm there to help you. So tefillah is a statement of dependence. I depend on Hashem. I need him. And if you understand and you tell him you need him, then you deserve to have what's coming to you. If you don't understand that you need him and you think you can do it on yourself, so God says, fine, do it yourself. So in that respect, tefillah is not so much active, it's more passive. I admit, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rabbanu Shalom, I can't do it on my own, I can't stand on my own 2 legs, I'm really nothing, I'm bowing my body to you, but I know that if you'll help me and you'll be with me, Hashem, then I can stand up straight and I can do it also. So that is the idea that the Sha'arim of Dima, the gates of tears, haven't been closed. However, the Mefarshim explain that, what are the gates then? If they're never closed, if you have gates that never close, what do you need gates for? They'll just be open space. So say the Mefarshim, that's because there are times when the gates shouldn't be open. Tears are very nice. But there's a good kind of tears, and there's a bad kind of tears. There's a good way to cry, and a bad way to cry. We know that in the Midbar, when the Meraglim came back, and they cried that night that they're going to be destroyed in the Midbar, and not going to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael, right? And they cried. They cried because they gave up hope. They felt abandoned. When you cry and you give up hope, that's bad tears. That kind of tears, right, we're punished for. And the Rabbanu Shalom said, if you're crying now, I'm going to give you something to cry about. And in the future, you'll cry every night, Tisha B'Av, but a different kind of crying to fix up this crying. That crying, they cried, and they said, Rabbanu Shalom, we can't do it, it can't be done, we give up. And they cried, and they felt abandoned, and they gave up hope. When we cry on Tisha B'Av, we don't cry because we gave up hope. Just the opposite. We say, Rabbanu Shel Olam, we know that we can't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We can't get ourselves out of Golus. But we know that you're going to do it. So we're crying, you know how like a baby cries. You know when a baby cries? A baby knows that something's wrong. It's cold, it's wet, it's hungry. It doesn't understand conceptually what's the problem. It doesn't know to understand, I'm hungry, I'm cold, I'm wet. But he knows one thing, that if he cries, all of a sudden a human being appears, usually in the shape of a mother, and knows exactly what that child needs and takes care of it. That's the kind of crying we cry on Tisha B'Av. Rabbanu Shel Olam, I know we can't do it on our own. But I know that you know what we need. And if I cry, I know that you'll be there for me. And eventually, you'll know how to take care. But I admit I need you. If you admit you need the Rabbanu Shel Olam, he's there for you. If you think you can do it on your own, the Rabbanu Shel Olam says, fine. You think you can do it on your own, let's see. So that kind of tefillah is called tefillah shel dema'os. But it's only a good tefillah if your tears are positive tears, not if they're negative tears. If they're negative tears, there's gates, they close. If they're positive tears, those kind of gates never close on those kind of tears. Therefore, Chazal say, I think, that the tefillah that we daven corresponds to two different things. One is mipnei tmidim tiknun, that's one opinion, that the tefillah was made connected to karbanos, right? Just like we have karbanos in the day, in the morning and the afternoon, and you burn the karbanos at night, so we have tefillah in the morning, afternoon, and at night. But another opinion in the Gemara says tefillah is avos tiknun. The avos made the tefillos. I think these two kinds of tefillah are represented by the avos and by karbanos. Like I explained to you, how does karbanos work? Making sacrifices. Making sacrifices is called lechem Hashem. It's God's bread. Now God doesn't eat bread, he doesn't eat anything. But it means what I told you. God set up a system in this world, and it needs energy to work. And he wants us to provide the energy. When you eat bread, what are you doing? You're getting yourself calories, right? And the calories are energy. Gives you the energy to be able to exist. So when you daven, you're kibiyachol giving God the bread that he needs in order to make that system work. Because he wants us to provide the energy, the calories. So we provide lachmi. So all the things we use in this world, and we direct them towards the Rabbanu Shel Olam, creates that energy for everything in the world. That's tefillah keneged tamidim. The tefillah is like korbanos, the positive tefillah, which is to a certain degree very diminished now because there's no Beis HaMikdash to be the power plant to create that kind of energy. But the other one, the avos. What was the mile of the avos? Chazal say the avos harein hein hamerkava. They were God's chariot. The purpose of the avos, their whole life, was to bring God's presence into this world. They were like a chariot that brings the king and brings him from place to place. The avos totally were mevatel themselves. They negated themselves to Hashem, and they wanted to bring God's presence into the world. That's the second kind of tefillah. The tefillah where I say, Rabbanu Shel Olam, I want your presence to be here. I need you. And by admitting that, I become a merkava. All I become is a chariot to bring God's presence into the world. Nothing else of myself. I just want the Rabbanu Shel Olam to be here to help me. And when you admit that and you say that, then that helps. And that's why there's two kinds of tefillah. It says that Yaakov Avinu said that he took Shem, Becharbi uvekashti, with my cherev and my keshes, my bow and arrow. And the Targum there says, Bitzlusi ubausi, with my tefillah and my bakosha. Okay, now what does that mean? So if you look at the Meshech Chachma, you look at the Briskarov, they say something similar to what I'm going to tell you, but not exactly. There's two kinds of tefillah. There's the tefillah that every word makes a difference what you say, the tefillah of Shmoneh Esrei, the Chazal and before the Chazal Nevi'im, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola made that tefillah, and they know how every word pushes and pulls the buttons in Shemayim. And every word is exactly what it should be, with the exact amount of words and the exact way to say it. And you have to daven every day that same tefillah, everybody the same words. Because you know what it's like? They have today, they have in the fables and the stories, you know, open sesame. Right? That they wanted to open the cave, you had to say the right word, and the cave opened up. Open sesame. Today they have that with computers. You can have safes that are programmed to be sensitive to certain sound waves of a person's voice and certain words that he says. And if he says those words, then the safe opens up. But if it's somebody else saying it, or he says it at the wrong time, or he says it the wrong way, or he skips a word, or he says it slurs the words, doesn't open up. So therefore, tefillah is like that too. There's certain ways that you can manipulate all of the powers that exist in the system that God made, push the buttons, pull the levers, and make that influence that Hashem has come into the world. But you have to say the right words. There's certain words, at a certain time, in a certain way, in a certain order, and if you say those words, the safe opens up, and you created that energy. If you don't say those words, then it doesn't work. That is the tefillah that's called the tefillah of Charbi. Cheref. A sword is intrinsically sharp. You don't have to put too much energy in it. It cuts by itself almost. Right? You touch somebody with it, you already cut them. The cheref has intrinsic power. But then there's a different kind of tefillah. That's called ba'usi. That comes from the heart. That's not where the words are making the difference. That's where my intention makes the difference. That's like a bow and arrow. A bow and arrow, if you touch somebody with an arrow, it's not going to hurt them at all. Sure, if you touch them with the bow. You know how a bow and arrow works? When you pull the string back and you put the power in it, then the arrow has power. If you don't put the power into that arrow, it doesn't work. And the Kutzke Rebbe says, the closer you pull that arrow to your heart, the farther it goes. The less close to your heart, the less it goes. That kind of tefillah is not the tefillah that you have to say every word. That's the tefillah we say at the end of davening. In a Lokai Netzor, you can add your own tefillah. And there the main thing is not the words. The main thing is your kavana. How much you really feel you need the Rabbanu Shalom. And how much you're telling him, God, I can't do it on my own. Refa'enu Hashem v'nei rafei. You heal me, I'll be healed. I can't do it on my own. The more kavana you have, the more you really feel it, the farther that tefillah goes. So there's charbi, and there's what's it called? Kashti. There's Tzlusi, the regular organizational, institutional tefillah, Shmon Esrei, where every word, Chazal knew how those words are like the wires that connect you to the system in Shemayim and bring that power back to the world. And then there's Ba'usi, your own tefillah. The tefillah you make on your own words. Where the main thing is not the words, the main thing is what you feel. That tefillah is like a bow and arrow. That tefillah is how much kavana you put in, that's how much a tefillah. The other tefillah, the words themselves, have an effect. And both are important. That's why it's important, even if you don't know Hebrew, to daven in Hebrew, because those words are powerful words. But you should try to understand what you're saying too, because your kavana also makes a tremendous, tremendous difference. That's charbi v'ubakoshosi. And therefore, according to all of this, tefillah doesn't change God's mind. We're not trying to bother God enough and beg him that he'll change his mind. Right? God, I need some parnasa. So you didn't give it to me, but maybe if I bother you enough, you'll change your mind and give it to me. It doesn't work like that. Because the Rabbanu Shalom, if he didn't give us something, there's a reason for it. Because we don't deserve it, because we don't need it, or because it's bad for us, and we need something different. We need to suffer maybe a little bit sometimes too. It's like a person needs an operation. A person needs an operation, so it's good for him, the operation. Let's say you're a doctor. You come to examine a patient in the hospital, and you determine that he needs a very painful operation, and he's got to cut out some of his flesh, right, take out some of whatever, but you know for sure that if you do that, he's going to live another 50 happy, healthy years. If you don't do it, he's going to die in 2 hours. For sure. How do I know? I made up the mashal. I can make up the mashal any way I want. So that's black and white. You give him the operation, he's going to live 50 happy, healthy years. You don't give him the operation, he's going to die in 2 hours. Okay, would you give him the operation? You're the doctor. Yeah. Yes or no? For, is it good for him?
Yeah.
100%. What happens if the patient says, "Doc, I don't like pain. This is going to hurt. Please, don't give me the operation. Please, please." Right? Would you listen to him? Why? You know that you're giving him 50 happy, healthy years. He's just a little stupid and doesn't realize how important this is for him. And he's afraid of the pain. If you would listen to him and not give him the operation, would you be a good doctor? No, you'd be a murderer. So you wouldn't listen to him. You'd give him the operation anyway. So why, when we daven, isn't the same thing? The Rabbanu Shalom says, I think you need to be sick. For something's wrong with your neshama, and you need to be sick. Or something's not wrong with your neshama, but your neshama needs right now, you need to be sick. For some reason, this is what's best for you eternally. Okay? And you come and you say, "Oh God, I'm sick. Please make me better." Why doesn't the Rabbanu Shalom turn around and say, "I know you're sick. I made you sick. Everything happens because I made it, and it's good for your good. So don't bother me. If the time comes to get better, I'll make you better." Why do we bother God to do something that seemingly is not for our good? It's like the guy begging the doctor to make, not to make the operation. If you know the operation is good, it hurts, but it's for your good. The answer is, like we said, we're not changing God's mind, but we're making the situation one where now you don't need that operation anymore. Because if I admit I really need the Rabbanu Shalom, I'm a different person. Maybe the first person needed that operation. I'll give you another example. The mashal is not exactly a good mashal that I told you. The real mashal would be the following. You come and examine the patient, you're the doctor, and you determine according to his condition right now he needs this operation. But if he'd be a little bit stronger, right, and his body wouldn't be so weak, you have some bitter medicine that could accomplish the same thing as the operation. But since his body is so weak, his body can't integrate the bitter medicine the way it is now. If he could exercise and he'd come a little bit stronger, then his body would be able to integrate the medicine, and you wouldn't have to give him the operation, you could just give him the bitter medicine. Not only that, if he exercised even more and became stronger, I have some sweet medicine that could do the same thing. But you need a strong body for the sweet medicine to be able to work. So the doctor comes back, the patient hears this, the doctor goes away to prep for the operation, and the patient starts to do sit-ups in the bed, pull-ups on the chains above the bed, right? Doctor comes back in an hour, and he sees, wow, guy's much stronger. I don't have to give him the operation anymore. I give him the bitter medicine. And the guy says, "Listen, wait, doc, another hour, I'm going to exercise more, just give me the sweet medicine." Has the doctor changed his mind? What's changed? The condition of the patient. The doctor knew, condition A, the guy needs an operation. Condition B, I can get away with the bitter medicine. Condition C, give him sweet medicine. What changes? The person changes. Davening doesn't change God's mind. It changes your condition. Either by creating that energy that's necessary to bring that good into the world, or by making you a different person, by admitting that you need the Rabbanu Shalom, making you a different person. And therefore, lehis palel, Reb Shamshon Foyle Hirsch says it's hispoel. We're not affecting God. We're affecting ourselves. And because we change, what's good for us changes. Everything in this world is for the good, but not everything is sweet. And therefore on Rosh Hashanah we daven for a good and sweet year. Shana tova umesuka. Because every year is good. No matter how bad it is, it's really for the good. But it's not sweet. We want it to be sweet too. To make it sweet, you have to change your condition. Either by adding fuel to that system that Hashem made, or even more important, by admitting that you need the Rabbanu Shalom, by being a person who believes that the Rabbanu Shalom can help you. All of those things make you a different person. It's like exercise. And some people say, that's why when we daven, we shuckle. Because it's spiritual exercise. When you're davening, you're showing, you're exercising. Right? You're moving back and forth or whatever. Just like your body's moving, your neshama's moving too. And it's getting its exercise that it needs. There's only one problem with that. But how do you daven for somebody else? Right? You can daven for yourself. and you can change, and you can create that power that's necessary, but how do you daven for other people? Right? If somebody's sick in the hospital, and the doctor says, if they exercise, I don't have to give them the operation, I'll just give them bitter medicine. And I say, look, doc, that's my friend. And he's so weak, he can't exercise. But I have a gym at my home. I'm going to go home and exercise for him. So don't give him the operation. I'm going to go home for an hour and exercise for his sake. Don't give him the operation. You think it'll help?
No.
Of course not. So how in the world can we daven for somebody else? If davening doesn't change God's mind, but it puts that fuel into the system and it changes me, then how can you daven for somebody else? So one idea is that we daven because we're all connected to each other. So the fuel that I put in the system helps for you too, because we're all part of the same system. So from that standpoint, Kol Yisrael Aravim Zebazeh, all Jews are mixed in one with the other. So what one Jew does and puts that power into the system, it helps for everybody else also. We're all in the same bus. So if I put gas in the bus and it goes, it goes for you too, not just for me. Because we're all in the same bus, we're all going the same place. So the fuel helps that I put in for you too. That's one way. But there's another way. And that is that whoever is affected by somebody else's condition is because he needs it. And if he changes, then something changes in the whole system. Because I don't then deserve, I don't need to be affected by your illness or your poverty or whatever it may be. So if I change, the change in the whole system also. So from both aspects of tefillah, whether tefillah is a statement, Rabbanu Shalom, I need you. And if you admit you need him, then he'll help you. If you think you don't need him, then he'll let you do what you think. Do it yourself. But if you admit that you need me and you really believe in me, then you're a different person. You're changed. You deserve more help from the Rabbanu Shalom, then you'll get it. If you're not that different person, if you think you can do it on yourself, it's a different story. So if I'm affected because somebody else is hurt, and it hurts me, and I make that statement, Rabbanu Shalom, I know that I need you. Help me out of this tzara. And because of that, I change. I'm a different person. I don't need the tzara. Now I can have the sweet medicine. Then that person has to get better also, because that his being sick is a bitter medicine for me. And I don't need the bitter medicine anymore. So from those two aspects of tefillah, that's how tefillah works. It works that we're putting the energy source into God's system of bringing what God wants good in this world, but he wants us to deserve it. He wants us to be the ones to cause it. That's for our good. Or because I come to the Rabbanu Shalom like with tears, and I say, Rabbanu Shalom, I'm like a baby. I don't even know 100% what's wrong. I know that I need a lot of things. I know that things aren't 100% the way they should be. And I know if I cry out to you, you'll help me. I know you're always there. And if I make that statement when I daven, and I believe that when I daven, that the Rabbanu Shalom, I can't do it on my own. On my own, I can't stand on my own two legs. I bend my knees in front of you. I bow my body. I'm nothing. But with you, Rabbanu Shalom, I can stand up straight and do anything. If I make that statement, I really believe it. And the more I believe it, the more strong the statement is, the more the Rabbanu Shalom is going to be there for you. Those are the two kinds of tefillah. The tefillah that's the active tefillah, which was diminished by the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the passive tefillah of crying, where a person davens and tells the Rabbanu Shalom that he needs him, and then the Rabbanu Shalom kicks in. Okay, I have time for a few questions, if anybody has. If not, then I think that I gave you what to think about. And the main thing is not listening to me talk. The main thing is, take pichui machem devarim. Take the words with you. Think about them. Maybe you'll have questions or whatever, and you'll think what I said doesn't make any sense, or you didn't understand it, or you have a question on it. I'll be more than happy. You'll tell your rebbeim, and they'll pass on the question to me, and I'll be happy to answer it. And the Mirza Hashem, if you'll understand how davening works, and you'll work on it, and you'll daven with the right kind of kavana, and realize that the words you say and how you say them make a difference. It's like open sesame. It's like the computer. If you say the right words at the right time, they have an effect. And if not, they don't have an effect. Then you'll be more careful in how you daven in every word, and also in the davening that you add to the davening, your own davening, at the end of davening, what you ask the Rabbanu Shem in your words will also be more, because you'll have a lot more kavana and understand that you really need the Rabbanu Shel Olam, because without him you can't do anything, and with him you can do everything. Okay.